we read our Word of God together this morning, our text, and try to bring what the Lord has given us, I believe, to be for the morning hour this morning, okay? We're plowing right on through, the Lord willing, the life of Moses and the people of Israel, and doing our best to give you the best account that we can of it. I hope it'll be a blessing to you someday, if not now, someday down the road, that God would help you out with it. So turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter number 7 this morning, okay? In the Word of God. King James 16:11 Bible, by the way. Hallelujah. We don't believe in all them other V's. We just believe in the King James Bible. And that's what we use here. All right, Exodus chapter number 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall harden it, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before the servants, his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now may the Lord bless that. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for a good Sunday school time, for the good fellowship, the good singing of the hymns of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering together of your people, their faithfulness to the house of God. And I pray now you'll open up your word to us. Give us enlightenment and understanding. Bless us with liberty and power this morning. May souls be turned to Christ, and may your people be revived and helped and refreshed. Help every need, meet every need that there is today, and may your name be glorified. I do pray for that filling of the Spirit of God and that fresh oil that comes from the Holy Ghost to help me today, Lord, preach what you've laid upon my heart, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read one verse this morning out of verse number 5, where the Bible said there, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." I want to preach this morning on that for a little while. And it's very simple, and I'll get right into the text this morning because what I have to say is a very simple thought. But I'm going to give it to you the way God's give it to me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But I want to preach on for a little while this morning. Uh-oh, and I'm in the wrong place here. Hallelujah, I don't want to preach on that. Done preach that to you once. You may get awful ill if I preach that today. Better get on over it. I want to preach a little. I want to preach this morning on the thought, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now, there were at least, and we've been preaching on this for a while, so I shouldn't have to go back and recap everything. There were at least three obstacles the Lord had to overcome before Israel could be delivered from the furnace of their Egyptian bondage. And the first one of those things was Moses himself. The Lord had to overcome his fear and his apprehensions that were in his heart concerning his ability to be able to deliver the children of Israel out of their bondage. You know, he became fearful and fled to the backside of the desert. And then when the Lord appeared to him, he gave every reason why that the Lord should choose someone else to go down and bring Israel up out of that bondage. But you know, it was overcome when God visited him on holy ground and then spoke to him out of a bush that burned with fire, but yet was not consumed. You know what I want to say? That's a glorious thing. That is a wonderful place to meet with God, is on holy ground. In fact, if you ever meet with God, it'll be on holy ground. And the reason is because wherever His feet are, it is holy. Amen. Wherever the Lord is, it is holy. And Moses met Him there on that holy ground, and then he heard that voice speak to him out of that bush that burned with fire, and yet it was not consumed. And you know, I realize we're in the Old Testament. I want you to understand, I know that. But you know, I still believe that the Lord being God, there are some things that apply to the nation of Israel that apply to you and I today. For instance, when the Lord said, my sheep shall hear my voice, and they shall follow me. I don't believe there's any doubt. There's no doubt in my mind when Moses heard that voice out of that burning bush, he was one of the sheep that belonged unto the Lord. And when he heard that voice standing on holy ground, that the fear and those apprehensions in his heart were overcame, and he finally agreed unto the Lord to go down to Israel and do what God wanted him to do. And then I want to say secondly, the second thing was that the people of Israel, they had to be convinced that Moses was sent by God, and that he was, and that God was a God, his God was a God of their fathers. And you know, that leads me to say this. One of the most difficult things there is, not just then, but even today, come on now, some of you backed off on that, but one of the most difficult things there is today for people of God is to realize that their preacher is the man of God. Israel was going to have a problem believing that Moses was sent from God. Therefore, he gave him those signs, the one casting down the rod, turning into a snake, and retrieving it back again by the tail. Putting his hand into his bosom, turning into leprosy, pulling it out, leprosy, putting it in, and pulling it out once again clean. But people today have a hard time believing that their man is sent from God. I'm going to tell you, that's why so many people take preaching with a grain of salt. It's just a man up there, and he's saying what he wants to say. No, I'm going to tell you, if you really believe the Bible, Moses and Aaron were directed by the Lord in what to say and how to conduct themselves when they got there. And a preacher is not just a man standing up blowing wind and blowing out hot air and saying words. He is a man that God has called and that God has anointed to preach the Word of God to people. And I'm telling you, we'd do well today to heed what the man of God has to say. And by the way, we'd do well today to show a little respect to the man of God as well. Amen. That's right. I don't mean you got to set him up on a pedestal, but the man of God ought to be respected among the people that he's preaching to. Amen. That's right. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. And so they were given those signs that would prove that. And then, you know, in Exodus 4:31, the Bible says this, and the people believed. When they saw those signs, the Bible said the people believed. They believed that Moses was a man of God. And they believed that he was sent there by the God of their fathers. They believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, the Bible said, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. That's an amazing thing. When they realized that God had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped God. I'm kind of like Brother Steve was this morning. I wonder how many of us really in here today
when we realize that God looked upon our affliction, when sin had afflicted us and we were bound by the power of Satan, when God delivered us from that, we realize that God had visited us and was delivering us from that power. How many of us really bowed our heads and worshiped and adored Him as the Lord our God? I want to say to you this morning, the Lord is God, and beside Him there is none else. Say amen right there. The Lord is God. No doubt about it. Absolutely right. Oh, amen and amen. Then I want to say thirdly, and I'm just hurrying. The third was the Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. They stood as an obstacle in the way of being delivered here by the power of God. And this third obstacle that I'm referring to is revealed in its beginning here in the text that I read to you this morning. The Lord uses, by the way, power and plagues to deliver the nation of Israel. Power and plagues to deliver the nation of Israel. He does not start out in delivering them by plagues. He starts out in the beginning delivering them by revealing His power. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm telling you today that we serve an omnipotent God. There's no doubt in my mind. When I say omnipotent, I mean He's all-powerful. There is no man that can stay the hand of God. There is no creature that can stay the hand of God. There's no one that can stay the hand of God. The Lord, He is God, and beside Him there is none else, and there's none that can stay the hand of Almighty God. And He didn't start out with a plague, ladies and gentlemen. He started out by showing Pharaoh the power that he possessed, amen, through his man Moses and through Aaron that God used as a prophet. Amen and amen. Say amen right there. Now, I realize that he started out with power. And by the way, he goes right to the root of the problem. Egypt's royal God. I want you to get a hold of this, because this is what I'm preaching on this morning. Egypt's royal god was the serpent. That was their royal god. And God immediately proves that He is sovereign and supreme by defeating Egypt's god right before the eyes of Pharaoh. When that rod was cast down by Aaron and it turned into a snake, a serpent, the magicians cast down their rods as well. And here's something I've never thought of. It doesn't say how many rods they cast down. I have no idea. There were magicians there. There were sorcerers there. His wise men were there. And he told, and enchanters were there. He told them to cast down their rods, and they did. I have no idea how many rods they cast down, but I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, that every one of them that went down, Aaron's rod swallowed up alive every one of them. And in doing that, amen, the Lord showed that He had the power over their supreme, amen, their supreme God, which was that serpent that they worshipped so much in the land of Egypt. Not only that, He proved that, hey, that in doing that, that death was swallowed up in victory, and it was. Amen. That God, hey, that He was the all-victorious one. He was, and He still is. The all-victorious one. Amen to God. Hallelujah. If y'all help me, I feel like I might preach a little bit. Amen. Now listen carefully. The Egyptian serpent was an emblem of divine wisdom and power. Can you imagine people believing that a stupid snake was an emblem of divine wisdom and power? Ladies and gentlemen, that is depravity at its greatest. When the people start worshiping a snake, I'm not going to worship no stinking copperhead. I'm not going to bow down to a rattlesnake. And you know, some of those foreign countries, they even play with those vipers. I mean, some of them cobras, they come up out of them baskets and they play that music and they swim. I don't want nothing to do with them. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. Are you here among them? They must not have known anything about the Word of God, because it was a serpent in the garden that beguiled Eve, and here they're worshiping the very thing that plunged them into their depravity they're living in. Now I want to say this right here, the very first commandment comes to my mind. The Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet here they are worshiping a stinking serpent, and they believe that he is the emblem of all divine wisdom and all divine power. He is the all-powerful one. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:24, and the last part of that verse. He said, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. I'm not looking at no serpent for power and wisdom. I'm going to tell you who I'm looking to. The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. He is the Lord. The Lord, He is God. Amen. And we don't have to look at some stupid snake for power and wisdom. He is the power and the wisdom of Almighty God. And I'm glad that He's my Savior today. I'm glad that He was born into this world and died on the cross that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. I can't imagine people worshiping some stinking snake and believing that it's all powerful and has wisdom. Now, I'll say this much. The devil can certainly deceive people. He did Eve in the garden. That serpent deceived her in the garden. Oh, and she looked at that tree and saw that it was good to make one wise. But I'm going to tell you, though, the old devil's pretty subtle. He's pretty crafty. Amen. And people can confuse craftiness with wisdom. We need to learn to distinguish between the two. Craftiness is not wisdom. Deception is not wisdom. I'm going to tell you what wisdom is. It's truth settled in the hearts of men, given by the all-wise one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord, He is God. Always has been and always will be. There was a time when He was not. Say amen right there. I want to say secondly, in a particular city in Egypt, four serpents were considered as guardians over each quarter of the city. Four snakes. And here they are guarding that city. Can you imagine our mayor and our city council going out and gathering four vipers, taking them to four different corners of Madisonville, and letting them be the guardians to protect the people? I can't imagine that in my soul. No, a snake. Hey, people are afraid of snakes. I am. But I'm afraid of them. I'm going to tell you right now, if I don't want to step on one, I step on. Somebody said, what kind of a snake? The good snake, the dead snake. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's why I'm glad, thank God that, hey, I'm glad that rod of Aaron swallowed up all them stinking poppers. There ain't no good snake but a dead snake, and they all died. Hallelujah. Amen. But that rod that swallowed them up was alive, and it is alive today. I'm telling you, that rod was a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. Amen right there. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Now, I can't imagine that. They're guardians watching the city. But you know something the Bible said in Psalm 91:4? He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. That's talking about the Lord. And He said, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Many of you have heard this story, but let Brother Hall tell it to you again in case you haven't. I read a story in one of those little books I've got back there in my bookshelf about a fire that was raging out in the Midwest across some of that bramble bush and grass that grows out there. And it was a grass fire. And the wind was blowing. And it was just, moving rapidly. Men were doing all they could from all over the area, doing their best to contain that fire and to put it out. Some of the men behind were chasing that fire and trying to put it out. This one fellow came up on a little clump that was just it just looked like a clump of burnt grass. And the story says that he walked by that clump of grass, that he kicked it, what he thought was a clump of grass, and when he kicked it over, a bunch of little baby chickens come running out from under it. It wasn't grass, it was a mother hen that had taken her chickens under her wings to protect them. Now I'm here to tell you, we have got a God in heaven that will protect us beneath the covert of His wings, ladies and gentlemen. And there is safety and shelter there, and He will guard us there from all harm's way. He'll guard us there from sin, Satan, amen, from death. He'll guard us there from every enemy that we have. I don't need a snake to guard me. I've got a Lord that will guard me very well. Say amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Then I won't say thirdly about these vipers. Now I'm hurrying. The asp was also considered sacred, and it set as a deity in the city, and I hope I pronounce this right, of Nep. N-E-P-H. It was later found in the tombs in Thebes. I hope that's right. And it was found there written in hieroglyphics. And in those hieroglyphics, it was guarding the wine presses and the granaries of Egypt. Can you imagine a people having a snake that they feel like will protect or protect their granaries and their wine presses? In other words, their provisions. They got their food. They got their nourishment. This God, this snake, this God was protecting their granaries, protecting their food, supplying them their food. But I'm going to tell you what my Bible says. My Bible said in Philippians 4:19 that my God, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory of Christ Jesus. Not some other God, but my God. Let me ask you this morning, who is your God? And I want to say, can I say, hey, the problem that they had down there was idolatry. Oh, to the greatest degree, ladies and gentlemen, was idolatry. Now I'm telling you, we're living in a pagan society in America today that is eaten up with idolatry. And by the way, somebody said, what is an idol? Anything that you put before God is an idol. Now, I'm going to ruffle some of you feathers right here, but I don't give a flip. Y'all get mad. Don't make any difference to me. Now, I'm going to tell you what one idol is in Kentucky. It's the Wildcats. And another one is the Cardinals. Come on in the house, boys and girls, or your favorite ball team. And I'm going to tell you something. If you put a ball team and a ball game in the, before you put God in your life, you got an idol in your life that is, hey, taking precedence over the Lord, and you're living in a life of idolatry. Amen. Say amen or oh me. Amen. Heroes, football stars, movie stars, heroes become idols. Wealth, possessions, automobiles, anything that we can have, anything that we put before God. Work! Work and become a man's God. If he puts it before the Lord, it's his God. Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, and I don't make no apologies for it, don't intend to apologize for it. If your work comes before God in your life, that work is your God. Amen, Brother Hall. Television stars. We've made them, hey, America's made them all gods. Amen. You try to go online and look at the news, and all you see is a bunch of, mostly for the most part, is a bunch of Hollywood nonsense. So-and-so messed up on singing the national anthem. They make a big deal out of it, and a big hoopla out of it. Right. I don't even know, I never heard of the woman. Never heard of her in my life. And I'm going to tell you who I have heard of. I've heard of Jesus. Yes. And He is my Lord. Yes. Not some Hollywood idol. Oh. What is the name of that one program people are talking about all over the country? American Idol. Boy, hit the spot, don't you? American Idol. That's exactly what he is, or she is an idol, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. They've made some of these politicians idols. That's all they talk about, Palin, or Huckabee or Obama or something. I'm telling you, they've made them idols. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We're eating up with idolatry, ladies and gentlemen, when the fact of the matter is the Lord, He is God, and we're no better off than what Egypt was in the day that Moses went to deliver them. We're eating up with idolatry. And he got right to the root of it. I mean, he went to their king, buddy, to their royal God, the snake, the serpent. Amen. My God shall supply all my need. I don't need a snake to watch over my bread box. I don't need a snake to watch my kettle of beans or to watch over my chili mama makes for me. Sweetheart makes for me. I'm glad, brother. I hope brother Hyde ain't listening to this. He nailed that, didn't he? She ain't your mama, he said. She's your wife. Don't you call her mama. She ain't your mama. She's your wife. Is that what Brother Hyde said? She's your wife. By the way, today, gentlemen, sure to be your sweetheart. I ain't leaving it at home. God, she ought to be your honey. Your sweetie pie. I'm serious about that. And you can't get away from it because the Bible said, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So you can't get away from that. Your love for your wife, you cannot escape because the Bible declares it. It's your to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's pretty deep love. You sorry egg sucker. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else I can't tolerate. A man beat around on a woman. Think that's big, beating around on a woman or a little child or something like that. You're going to rile me up, let me get wind of it, buddy. I can't handle it. Amen. Well, I'll show my masculinity. Why don't you show your masculinity by maturing a little bit and being a man and a husband to your wife? I don't know how I got off on that. But I believe it's in the Lord, brethren. I believe it's in the Lord. Amen. And I want to say also, two of these serpents, which were kept alive in Thebes, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, somebody can correct me at the service, in Upper Egypt, were appointed by the people as the greatest sovereign of the universe. The greatest sovereign of the universe. A snake. The greatest sovereign of the universe. They even held festivals and offered sacrifices to them. Can you imagine gathering around and offering a sacrifice to a snake? That is more than I can comprehend. I don't need to offer a sacrifice to a snake. My Bible tells me in the book of Genesis 22, Abraham said, my God shall supply himself with a lamb. My God! Let me just read that. I believe I wrote it down. I believe I quoted it wrong. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Himself. There's my sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord, hey! Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. To God, that's right. And if I'm going to make any sacrifices in my life, come on now. We're to present our bodies a living what? A living sacrifice. If I'm going to sacrifice my life to anything, it's not going to be to a stinking snake crawling around on his belly. It's going to be to the Lord, for He is God. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Thank God. Now, and I want to say, fifthly, Aaron's rod swallowing up the serpents of the magicians once again brought great assurance to the people of Israel and should have proved to Herod, to Pharaoh rather, that Jehovah is Lord over all. But he hardened his heart and would not let Israel go. And I'm going to preach this little text here in just a minute very quickly. But I want to say this, and I've always looked over this word. Sometimes we can read the Bible and look over words that are so important and they don't seem to mean much, but if you look at them, they mean so much. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy. I want to see if you catch it. 6:15. Paul said, "Which in his time shall show, who is a blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." You know, we always look at that, that there's coming a time down the road when he'll show that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, that he's the only potentate. Sometime down the road. Sometime down the road. It's what we often think. Which in his time. But it don't say in his time. That little word said in his times. T-I-M-E-S. That tells me there are times in... Hey, there's times in the lives of the people of God that the Lord will show himself to be the only potentate, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And I'm telling you, that in Pharaoh's court was one of those times when a serpent of Aaron swallowed alive the serpents of Pharaoh. There was a time, there was one of those times that he showed himself to be the only potentate. The Lord of lords and the King of kings swallowed up the royal king of Egypt and destroyed him. Now I want to say this before we go any further. There's coming a day when that rod that Aaron held in his hand will indeed take hold of the serpent of Pharaoh. Whoop! Hallelujah. That old serpent of the devil. Thank God there's coming a time. When that Lord of lords, the Lord who is God, will take that old serpent of the devil. And praise God, I believe he'll catch him by the tail and lift him up and look him right square in the eyeball. And then cast him into hell for all time and all eternity, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. And that is one of the times that he'll prove that the Lord, he is God. Amen. Now, I want to say this, and I'll be done. It won't take me long. We'll be out here early today. I want to say five things very quickly. He is Lord over the serpent. Verse number 12 said, "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, and Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." He is Lord over the serpent. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot of people today that ought to realize that the devil don't have a chance. He doesn't have a prayer. Some people think that the devil can do whatever he wants to do. He does what God lets him do. He doesn't have the power to do anything that God won't let him do. Oh, you look amazed. I'm telling you, the Lord, he is God. And he is Lord over the devil. He's Lord over the serpent, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. When he went to poor old Job and wanted to do Job in, the Lord said, "All right." And the Lord gave him permission to do what he does. The Lord gave him permission, first of all, to touch his family, touch his finances, and then touch his own body. But he said, "His soul, leave it alone." Now I'm going to tell you something right now. When the Lord speaks, it's better than E.F. Hutton or whatever his name is. Buddy, people stand up and give an ear. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, when the Lord told the devil, "You can have everything he's got, but you can't have him," I'm glad, thank God. Hallelujah, I'm ready to run my head through a wall. The devil may take everything that I have, but thank God my soul is under the blood of Christ, and he's my Lord, and the devil cannot get to me where I am. I found the covert under the wings of Almighty God. Amen. I found a place of quiet rest. I've found peace in my heart. I've been regenerated. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved by the grace of God. Bought by price. Pardoned by grace. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And on my way to glory. Amen. It's all because the Lord, He is God. You know what His whole name is? Lord Jesus Christ. That's His name. That's right. Jesus, by the way, was His earthly name. Come on, you can believe that or not. But He's Lord over the serpent, verse number 12. Now here's one that's going to get us. Look at verse number 10. The Bible said, Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. And they did so as the Lord commanded.
Right.
Look at verse number 7. I believe verse number 7. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. No, it's not the one I'm looking for. I'm in the wrong verse here somewhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, verse number 6. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. Not only is he Lord over the serpent, but I won't say he's Lord over his servants. Oh, now that snags us pretty deep, doesn't it? Well, he's not going to tell me everything to do. He'll either tell you, he'll either do everything he tells you to do, or he'll tan the city old riches, whichever one you want. I'm telling you, God knows how to chasten his people. And every son that he receives, he scourges and chastises every son whom he receives. You better believe that. Now I'm telling you, amen. It's either do right or go to heaven early. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible, and the serpent is your God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You go back through the Bible. There's only one that I can think of right off the bat. Well, there's several I could mention that temporarily disobeyed, but I mean one that really reared up, and that was Jonah. And friend, he took a voyage to the bottom of the sea. Because of his rebellion. He got that seaweed wrapped around him and he cried out to the Lord from the belly of the whale, from the pit of hell. He cried out unto the Lord. Amen. And the Lord heard him and the whale spit him up on dry land. Hallelujah to God. And it was there in the belly of the whale that old Jonah learned that the Lord, amen, that he is, amen, that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. Not some stupid snake, but the Lord, amen. Amen. And so he's got authority, he's got power over his servants. When he called Peter, James, and John, and them, he just said, follow me. They just left their nets and followed him. When he met with Paul on the Damascus Road, Paul didn't argue with him. He just got up and left and followed him. Are you listening? When he called the rest of the disciples, they just fell in line and followed him. No questions asked. When Mary came to him and said, they're out of wine, he said, what's that to me? And Mary walked in and said, you just do whatever he tells you to do. And he said, draw water and put it into the pots and take it to the governor. When he drew out there with wine in those pots. Great juice. Not 196 gallons of liquor. For all you wine bibbers out there. Amen. Amen right there. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is the servants obeyed. Where are we in line with that today? Have we been obedient to everything God has told us to do? Have we been obedient to everything God has told us not to do? Are we walking in obedience to that Bible? By the way, that is His Word.
Amen.
Well, I like what Brother Steve said in Sunday school this morning. He said in chapter number 2 of the book of Luke, when the Lord said, why is it that you seek me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? That was the first words we ever heard from the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He not only was the Word of God, He is the Word of God.
Amen.
He is the living Word of God. And for some of you that don't realize that that Word in the beginning was a Word, that means the very thought of God. The very thoughts of God. In the beginning was the Word. It was already there. And the Word was with God. That means He was already there as well. In the person of Christ, He was already there. Come on now. Wonder how obedient we are to that Word. Then I want to say thirdly, He's Lord over the sorcerers. Look at verses 11 and 12. Pharaoh also called the wise men the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and that they became serpents, and Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, he's Lord over the sorcerers. Now, what do you mean, Brother Hall? Well, their rod swallowed up their rod.
Right.
But to make that applicable today, He is Lord over false prophets. Amen. They may not think so, but He is also Lord over false preachers or false professors. That's right. You'll get a hold of that after a while. It makes no difference whether you're saved or whether you're lost. He is Lord over you, friend. And He'll either prove that by saving you or by destroying you in the lake of fire, one of the two. The Lord, He is God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, nobody will stay His hand. He'll do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, where He wants to do it, and who He wants to do it to. He didn't ask nobody when He created the heavens and the earth. He didn't ask nobody when He brought the Lord into the world. He's never asked counsel from anyone. He'll never ask you for food. He said if He was starving to death, He wouldn't ask you for food. He don't need you and He don't need me. We need Him. And I'm saying, hey, let these false prophets spread their junk. I let them go on. I mean, I've preached against them. I have. I've stood up and railed on them, and I still do it a little bit from time to time even now. But I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day when He'll show who is Lord over the sorcerers of this world that have preached their false and erroneous doctrines out to people, and people have swallowed it up, been made a 2-4 mold child of hell, and they're professors, but they never possessed anything in their life. Amen. They're like that man that had spirit went out of and he cleaned up his house and nobody moved into it and the spirit came back and brought 7 more spirits more wicked than himself and they moved back in. There are false professors like those 5 foolish virgins who claimed to know God. They wouldn't know God if they walked out in front of them. Are you listening to me? But He's still Lord over them. For they'll say unto Him in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and we not do that? And He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Isn't that right or not? So He's Lord over those sorcerers, over those false prophets, and over those false professors. He's Lord over them. Amen. That's right. They were able to duplicate His power and position. But He overcome them. They could duplicate it. They throw down their rods and they become snakes, serpents. And there's people today that can duplicate. I mean, they can imitate.
Yes, sir.
A real man of God. Oh, they can razzle and dazzle people with their fair speeches. And they can tell people exactly what they want to hear. Make them feel good. And people don't want to be made feel bad. They want to feel good. But I'm here to tell you folks, unless a preacher rears back and preaches at something that will cause you to examine your heart, he's not much of a preacher.
Right.
Now, what I want to ask you today, is Jesus your Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Are you obedient to what He's got to say?
Right.
Now, I've said for many, many years that I didn't believe Saul, in the Old Testament Saul, King Saul, was a saved man. People argued with me with that. Well, another, he had another spirit and this and that, and they was anointed and blah, blah, and all this and all that. But you know, I was reading a book the other day, and here's what one fellow said. He said, there wasn't an ounce of God in Saul or Ahab, either one. And he likened Ahab to Saul and Saul to Ahab. That's bringing Saul pretty low. You know why? No obedience. God told him to obey is better than sacrifice. Come on in the house now. He wasn't God's choice. He was a people's. But God had a little ruddy-faced boy there named David who was going to be His king. Now I won't say fourthly here that He is Lord over the soul. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean there? Well, the Bible said in verse number 23, and He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, I know some of you don't like that. But for this very reason, He raised Pharaoh up that He might show His power in him. And I don't understand all that. But I do know that all of those plagues that went on after this, that through every one of them, God was offering Pharaoh an opportunity to repent and turn from his sin. But he wouldn't do it. He continually hardened his heart, ladies and gentlemen, against the Lord. He said, I'm going to worship my snake. And I'm going to keep you as my slave. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings had another thought coming for him. And I'm telling you, He is Lord over the soul, folks. He'll save a man's soul that'll turn to Him. He'll save a young man's soul or a young woman's soul. God will save some of you that's here today if you'll turn to Him. Try and call upon His name, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm telling you, God will save you today if you'll call upon His wonderful name. Oh, I remember the time and I remember the place when the Lord saved me, thank God, by His wonderful grace. When I called upon His name while Jesus passed by, I'm glad, thank God, that He stood still and heard thy cry and called for me. And I was brought to His feet and God saved me on that morning. He'll save you today. That's right. Somebody said, well, he'll save Pharaoh. I believe so. Somebody said, well, he'll save Saul. You're talking about. I believe so. I don't believe there's ever a one that he wouldn't have saved. Never will be a one if they'll call upon the Lord. If you'll call upon Him today, I'll tell you, God will save you as well. He's such a merciful God. He's such a loving God. And by the way, that's my last point. He is Lord. He has the power. And He's the Lord to save. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. I'm telling you, it's Jesus Christ the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Allah. What's a Hindu's God? What's His name? Huh? You lost me. Huh? Vicious? Krishna? Krishna. Is that where we get charismatics? Charismatics?
Amen.
They're not God. They don't have power to save. May I say to you this morning that money can't save you. Good deeds can't save you. Good looks can't save you, ladies. Young men, your masculinity can't save you. Your pumped up bodies can't save you. You're no match for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. There's only one Lord that has the power to save. His name is Jesus. The question is today, have you turned to Him? Have you repented and called upon His name? Have you trusted Him? Have you believed in Him? Buddy, I'll tell you, the longer I live, the greater burden I have in my heart is to tell folks that Jesus still saves. Even in 2011, He still saved old sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. For this reason, He said, I come into the world. I come not to be ministered to, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. To be testified of in due time. Oh, there's coming a due time when we're all going to get up and testify whether we like it or not. And we're going to testify how good Jesus our Lord has been to us. And by the way, He's not a serpent. He's a very loving, tender-hearted, kind, compassionate God that also possesses great wrath upon those that unbelievers and Christ rejectors. And He'll one day prove to them that He is the only potentate, the only Lord of Lords. Lord, in capital letters, read it. Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord of Lords, small letters, D, small D, small L, and King, large K, Kings, small K. He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. For they be kings many and lords many. But there is only one Lord that is sovereign and supreme. His name is Jesus. Jesus, that's it. Let's stand together.